So what have you lost that was valuable to you, and how did it feel? Does anybody want to respond? Yeah, Kendra.
Years and years ago, I lost my wedding ring. I had taken it off, doing things or whatever. I hadn't put it in the normal spot. You know how that is. I searched the entire house for 3 days. I looked through every pocket, all the dirty laundry, the clean laundry, you know, in the sink trap thing. You could not find it. Through lots of tears and prayers later, about 3 days later, I was putting on a jean skirt that I had already laundered and had already checked the pockets, and it was in the very tip top of the pocket. And I just felt like, number one,
absolutely. Anybody else? Krista.
I lost Abby when she was little at the state fair.
Wow.
20 minutes.
That's
about to shut the whole fair down. It was quite traumatic.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And then after we found her, you know how you like are so, the adrenaline's pumping.
Right.
And so I found her, and then I was like, oh, hurry, thank God. And then I got mad at her, and then I said, we have to go home now because I can't take it.
That shot the whole day. Anybody else? Yeah, Ramona.
I lost my husband.
Right. Oh, wow. Absolutely.
And then I said, is this the first time we
got to? Absolutely. Anybody else? Something that you lost? Someone, apparently. Did anybody else have this sensation, like, as you're sharing the story, did you feel it again a little bit? You know, the palms a little, like, you know, that we remember those feelings pretty well. It just starts to well up inside of us. That feeling of being lost or having lost something is just horrible. It's a terrible feeling when it's something that's incredibly important to you. And Jesus tells three stories. Now, we are going to talk eventually about the story of the lost sons. But before we get to the story of the lost sons, we put it into context. The story of the lost sons starts in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15. So today we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And so if you have a Bible, take it out. If you didn't bring one, there should be one underneath in front of you. Some of it's going to show up behind me, but I'm going to read Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. And I'm reading from the Message. If you have a pew Bible, it's way different. But this is what it is. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and the religion scholars were not pleased, not pleased at all. They growled. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? And when found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, call in your friends and neighbors, saying, celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep. Count on it, Jesus says. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Or imagine a woman who has 10 coins and lost one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. Celebrate with me. I found my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Lost and found. Can you think about how much you mean to God if the panic sets in when you lose something? And Jesus says, when you're lost and you're found again by God, there's a party in heaven for you because you have been found. Jesus tells these two stories about lostness. And did you catch why he tells these stories? There's two groups of people following Jesus at this point. In verses 1 through 3, you'll see that there's two groups. There's a group of, I like this, men and women of doubtful reputation who are following Jesus. Not the high society crowd. And what does it say that they're doing? They're listening intently to Jesus. There's a group there that wants to hear every word that comes from his mouth, and they're just sucking it in. Oh, they are just loving what Jesus is saying, and they are listening intently to everything that he says. But there's another group there. Did you catch that? The Pharisees and the religious scholars, and what are they doing? Growling. They're evaluating. We preachers know that there are those who come to church to evaluate. How did I do today? Jesus is confronted with religious scholars who are sitting there. They aren't listening intently. They're there to hear him mess up so they can catch him. They're there to find out what he's going to say that's wrong. And so they start grumbling, growling. What's wrong with this guy? Is Joe's translation. What's wrong with this guy that he eats with sinners? Now, note, he doesn't say people or the wrong people, but sinners. People down here somewhere beneath us. And he treats them like old friends. Folks, I think that's an accusation. Maybe they are his old friends, they think. People he used to hang around with, maybe he's not as good as he wants us to believe that he is. And so they're there not listening. They're there evaluating to find out where Jesus is going to mess up. And then Jesus tells these stories. Who are the stories addressed to? The doubtful reputation people or the Pharisees and religious scholars? Did you catch it? Who are they addressed to? Tell me. The Pharisees and religious scholars. It says their grumbling caused Jesus to tell the stories. And Jesus tells stories about being lost and being found. Three stories. And we're going to play with just the first two. You're going to have to wait a week at least to get to the lost sons one. Now we got four more weeks to deal with that one. But just the first two today. The first one is about a lost sheep. Now, I grew up in New Jersey and live in Colorado Springs. I don't know anything about sheep. But people who know about sheep say this. Sheep are not smart animals. And that's putting it nicely. And you notice how many times in the Bible, who do sheep are? Us. We're not the bright ones. Sheep get lost pretty easily. In fact, scholars tell us, or the shepherds tell us, not scholars, but a sheep will do, put their head down on the grass and eat that piece of grass. And at the corner of its eye, see another piece of grass and turn and go to that one, never putting its head up. Just from tuft to tuft to tuft, eating and moving, eating and moving, eating and moving. And then finally it looks up. And it's all by itself. And has no idea how to get back. Does anybody relate? Can you relate to being a sheep? Just getting the stuff done on the to-do list? I've got X to do and Y to do. My day is just packed and I've got to go through the list. And I'm not even going to look up to find out if what I'm doing is important. I just got things to do. Lost sheep. Just going off by themselves. And it's not like we try to get lost. We're just doing good things and not looking up. And then when the sheep does look up, the sheep is totally lost. Shepherds also tell us that calling a sheep does absolutely no good. When your dog is lost, you go through the neighborhood calling the dog. The dog hears you and comes. Some. The sheep, they say, panic and pace, run aimlessly in circles. So bad that when they see the shepherd, they don't even come to the shepherd. They're still just panicked. And what's the shepherd have to do? Go to where the sheep is, grab it, bind its feet, throw it on its shoulders, and bring it back. And I'm here to tell you, you're not a dog, you're a sheep. We don't need help. We need somebody to come and get us. The same is true of the coin. That seems like a story that's difficult to relate to. A woman has 10 coins and she loses one. Now, you know, we've all lost a coin in the couch, and we don't tear the couch apart. Well, maybe, but not usually, to find the lost coin. But Bible scholars tell us this was no ordinary coin. A woman had 10 coins. When women got married in Jesus' time, when a Jewish woman got married, she was given 10 coins that were strung together and put as a headband. And she would wear this headband, and that was kind of the sign that that's a married woman. It's a wedding ring, folks. Kendra, can you relate? She lost a coin. She lost her wedding. In essence, this lady has lost her wedding ring. And what do you do when you lose your wedding ring? You tear the house apart. You take the sink apart and go through the trap to find out where the wedding ring went. And do you notice in these stories that Jesus isn't talking about extraordinary people? He doesn't start the story by saying, you know, there's this really great shepherd who, if he had 100 sheep, would go find the one that was lost. No. He says, hey, you guys, if you were shepherds and you had 100 sheep and one of them was lost, what would you do? And the answer is, go get it. Because a sheep on its own is meat for something. No defenses. What would you do? Ordinary. This is just a hypothetical Jesus is putting out there. And then he says, or what if you were a woman who lost a coin? What would you do? Tear up the house and find that which was lost. Now, all of my life, going to church and going to Sunday school and hearing these stories, I've been told these stories from the perspective of the men and women of a doubtful reputation. I'm the one that's lost, and I need to be found. But who's Jesus addressing this to? Who's Jesus addressing this to? Not to the lost. At least partly it's addressed to the guys that are already on the inside, the Pharisees and the religious scholars. In essence, he's addressing it to the 99 other sheep. He's addressing it to the 9 other coins. I don't know if that one makes sense as much, but he's addressing it to the ones that are there. And he's saying to them, don't you care about the one that's missing? We're not complete unless you go get that last one. We as a community, we shouldn't be happy. We're not complete until we go and find the others. How do you think the Pharisees and the religious scholars heard that? I'll bet the grumbling continued. I'll bet they growled even more because they had it all worked out. They had a whole system of who belonged and who didn't belong. And of course, they belonged. And the sinners did not. They were okay with that one sheep going because they weren't part of the crowd. They weren't part of the flock. They chose to go that route. And Jesus' response is, oh no. If it was a sheep, you'd go find it. If it was a coin, you'd tear the whole house up to get it back. This is a human being, a lost soul. Don't you care as much as a shepherd cares for sheep or a woman cares for her wedding ring about that person who is lost and needs to be found? The religious scholars would have said, you know, you mean even those guys that don't obey the law like they should? And Jesus says, yep. You mean the tax collectors and fishermen that you've got following you? We're supposed to care about them? Yeah. Those guys that flunked out of rabbinical school like we talked about last week, do they matter? Uh-huh. Can't we just yell at them? Tell them to get their act together and then we can take them into the fold? Nope. You can't just call the dog. You got to go get the sheep. Go get them. What's the call to us today? Who are the sinners in our lives? Who are the ones that are so far out of the church that they don't even think they have a place here? And what does Jesus say? You're not complete. Go get them. I came for them. As much as I came for you, I came for them. Go get them and welcome them into the fold. Welcome them. Lost. Jesus cares so much for even the ones that are messing up. They're lost. I don't know how you came here this morning. And I know there are times when I've come to church, and I'm sure you've experienced it too, and you think, man, I just don't belong here. I've been messing up. And if these people knew what I've done, they wouldn't want me in this room. And I'm pretty sure God shocked them here too. And the good news today is that Jesus is saying, I'm the shepherd, and I've come to where you are to get you and bring you back. You belong. You're mine. Like a woman who's lost her wedding ring, I'm going to scour every place to find you. Like a sheep that's wandered away, I'm going to go and find you and put you on my shoulders and bring you back. Maybe today you're in that place and you feel like that one that's just out there. I want to give you the opportunity as we sing the next song to just come up and pray with me. And that's all I'm going to do. We're just going to pray together. And I just want to do one thing. Assure you that God welcomes you as part of the flock, as part of the fold. And pray that God, you will know that God knows that God came like a good shepherd to where you were and picked you up and is ready to carry you back home. So let's sing together. Come on up, guys. And we're going to do this pretty quietly. I want to keep this as solemn as possible. And actually, you know what? If you would like, don't come up. Raise your hand and let me come to you. That might be a little more comfortable. That's a pretty good symbol of what Jesus did, isn't it? Came to where we are. So let's sing together. I want you to go forth from this place this morning just knowing that no matter how lost you feel, you're not. That Jesus is right there with you wherever you are. And he's come to grab you up and take you home. Go in the knowledge that you are loved. And also I want you to go with a call. The 99 is not enough. There's one out there who God is calling to you. Not to save, Jesus does that work, but to just share his love with. By something you do or something you say, and just planting a seed that this love isn't ours. It's his. And it's not just for people who come to church, but it's for all of us, wherever we find ourselves. Go forth knowing you're loved and sharing that love with the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.